you're paying rent in Bitcoin over there?
Hell no, I'm not that stupid. I mean, if I'm have Bitcoin, I'm holding it. I'm not doing none of that.
Yeah, not a great time to sell, huh?
This is my belief on like cryptocurrency or like specifically Bitcoin. I see Bitcoin as more of a digital gold, kind more than actual like a spending. And some people will disagree. You know, if you talk to people that are very like Bitcoin maximalists, which is there's a community for that. Basically, mm-hmm. people that are like Bitcoin only, other altcoins are trash, you're gambling. They'll tell you, oh, Bitcoin can be spent. Bitcoin should be an everyday use. Right. But for me, I see it more as a long-term vision. I think for other crypto coins, you can spend them. But again, gas fees, you have to include gas fees.
What's going on, everyone? I'm your host, Kevin Munoz. You're listening to the Leo Podcast, where we talk about various educational topics, especially those impacting the Latin American community. This is today's free episode. If you want early access to episodes and bonus episodes, you can find that right now on our patreon.com/LatinAmericaNeo. And if not, then enjoy this one. The crypto market is such a fast-paced moving market. 1 minute we're talking about El Salvador adopting Bitcoin, and the next we're talking about the metaverse, about Web3, and how NFTs are becoming the future of crypto. So to wrap our heads around all this and catch us up to date on what's been going on in the crypto world, Alejandra once again agreed to come on the show and share her insights with us, as well as what she's been up to. If you haven't heard the first time she came on the show, then I don't know what you're waiting for. Head over to episode number 14 to learn all about Alejandra's story. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode.
I was talking about it a couple of days ago. I get paid in crypto now.
I saw that.
For a lot of my contracts. So I was all excited. I was so happy. I was like, yeah, you know, like I don't have to depend on the financial system. That's and great, then I realized that for the Ethereum network, you have to pay a gas fee.
Pay the gas fees? Oh, God.
So
that it's was like tax. It's like you're like, you know how they deduct stuff on your paychecks? Wait, so do you get deducted on the paychecks and the gas fees then?
So technically, yes, because I have to. So I'll tell you the whole procedure of how that works. And it's pretty insightful because different crypto protocols do it differently. Mm. But the protocol I'm working with is all in the blockchain. You get paid. They write a smart contract on your salary. So let's say I have a contract with them. That's like my main contract. And mm-hmm. they say, hey, we're going to pay you this amount of money yearly. You said, okay, they're going to write a smart contract with your salary. And every day you get paid, which is pretty cool. The contract releases a small amount of money every single day for you to get paid, which is pretty cool. Like pretty,
so it's like set in stone. Like once you like agree to the terms and everything, it's like, all right, you're getting paid 50K. This is how much you're going to get every day, right?
And it gets released daily. Which is cool because it's kind of like I make the choice on when I want to withdraw, if I need it, if I don't need it. But let me give you a little bit more insight on how would that look like. Yes, you get paid daily, which is pretty cool. But then you have to withdraw it. Now, if you're getting paid through Ethereum, you have to, and because it's a smart contract, you have to click what it's called release in the smart contract, or like you have to click something. And in order to do anything in Ethereum, you pay a gas fee, anything. Let's say I wanted to send you a message on the blockchain to say, hey, Kevin, I will have to pay a gas fee, even if I don't send you any Ethereum. I can literally send you zero Ethereums and just send you a message. And I paid in gas fee just to send it, right? Because we're paying the miners. So for me to say, hey, I'm ready to withdraw, or I'm ready to put it on my wallet, I have to click release. That's gas fee, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, depending on how the gas fee is doing, that can range from cheapest and a good day $25 to $50 to $200 in a bad day, right? So you have to find times that the gas fees are lower, which for me will be usually at night or really early in the morning. You know, when the network is less backed up. So now it goes, let's say I release, then it goes into my wallet. Now it goes into my digital wallet. And then from my digital wallet, I have to say, okay, well, I can't pay my bills out of my digital wallet. I need to pay it out of my bank account because my landlords won't take Ethereum. And most of my credit card or my debit card, all of that is not run in Ethereum, right? Although there is some cards that I've been using they work, but they don't work like with everything. And even then, like, it's just weird. Like, one of them I've been having issues with it. So I haven't really been able to use it as successfully. But
like crypto,
then what I would do, what
is it? Is it like crypto.com that has their own?
Yes, crypto.com is one of them. They have more like a debit card. Basically, you can spend, but the thing with crypto.com specifically is that they have requirements. They have specific requirements for you to have the card,
which
means that you need to own the Crow token in order to have it. And you have a bunch of perks. You can get like Netflix for free. You can get some trips cheaper, et cetera, et cetera. So they have a good card. I personally don't have it, but I've heard really good things. The card that I was talking about is called BitPay. Okay. And that one is more like a debit card in crypto. So basically, and this is more useful for people that get paid in crypto. If you are not getting paid in crypto, it really doesn't make sense for you to have it, because think about it. I have to send it there. You pay gas fees. And then, you know, it's just too much. Like, if you're going to pay with a card, just pay with your card. You know what I mean? So, but BitPay, if you get paid in crypto, you automatically just send the crypto to the card and then use it. So, but I don't, this is another thing, right? When you do payments, you want to make sure you keep it in a stable coin. Because what happens, for example, now that the market's bleeding, if you got paid in Bitcoin, if you're going to save it, that's cool. But if you meant to spend it, it's not really the best time to cash out. So it might be a good idea to get your salary or to get your like spending into stable coins, which is always going to be a dollar one-to-one. But I haven't stopped on the process of how to take out your money. So you sign the contract to release. You pay a gas fee. Then from there, it goes to your wallet, which will be your MetaMask, Trust Wallet, whatever you have. Then after you go into your MetaMask, then you have to send it to your exchange, right? Into an exchange where you can withdraw. So in this case, you might send it to Coinbase, Gemini, whatever. You will send it to them, pay another gas fee to send it. Then it gets to Coinbase. Then from Coinbase, I just found out that Coinbase Pro doesn't charge you fees for withdrawal. But regular Coinbase does. And I didn't know this. I just found out. So I paid a bunch of money to Coinbase just to withdraw.
No.
And so you go to Coinbase and then you cash out. You change it from, I don't know, USDC, Tether, into money, into regular US dollars. And then you send it to your bank account.
Right.
And then if you want to immediately, so just to move it from USDC into US dollars, that's a fee you pay to them. And then from that fee that you pay to them, then you have to send it to your bank. And if you want it within 20, like immediately, then you pay another fee.
Like the convenience fee. So you're paying like double up on like the gas fees and then like a convenience fee, right?
Yeah. So technically I paid four different times, right? Which, you know, I think it's a reminder that crypto is not where we need to be in regards to payments. But there is a lot of like layer two solutions, which that means that when talking about layer twos, there's different applications that are being built. Because the main problem is Ethereum. Just be transparent. I think in regards to fees, Ethereum is the big issue. It's not as much with Bitcoin or other blockchains. But I will say that with Ethereum, they're building what is called layer twos. And then this layer twos, basically, I'm as a developer, I'm as a, you know, somebody that knows how to code, I can build something on top of Ethereum. Because remember, Ethereum is an application that allows you to build on it as a, it's a technology. I can build a layer two solution, which will create a bridge between networks. So that way people can use my bridge on top of Ethereum and pay way less fees. So that's what Polygon is doing. If you ever heard about Polygon, the token, that's a great project. What they're doing is really amazing in regards of making it cheaper. Arbitrum, another project that's growing a lot, in regards of layer twos, and they're doing really amazing work in the sense of they want to decrease the fees.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is that they're not very user-friendly for a beginner. You know, people are going to say layer two, what? You know, they might have gotten, if I lost you there, guys, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah. So, I mean, layer two just basically allows you to just build on top of Ethereum, right?
Or any other blockchain, layer ones.
Okay. But there's also like alternatives to like what, like Solana, right? What people have been riding that wave. I'd say Solana, seeing it as an alternative to like Ethereum. Is it an alternative to Ethereum? What would you think?
So this is my belief. Everybody can say we're better than Ethereum. We're an Ethereum pillar. We make transactions a lot faster. Everybody wants to be Ethereum until they have Ethereum issues, which is getting backed up. Solana has been down multiple times. You know, I'm not saying Solana is a good project. I'm not denying the work that the developers are doing. I'm not denying like the NFT space in Solana is crazy. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's booming. What I'm saying is that the networks get backed up.
Yeah.
People might not be able to get their transactions through. I just saw a tweet and I'm not sure if this is like now or before. I know Solana was down for a period of time, and I think it was down again. So I'm not sure. I haven't checked out my sources, but it's fair to assume that happens often.
That's crazy. I want to like, no, that's so true. What you said though about like the till they have Ethereum issues, like everyone's an Ethereum killer till they have like Ethereum issues. Cause I feel like that is a pretty common problem, is like once they get their networks, like overloaded with a bunch of traffic, then that's when everything always starts having issues. But I wanted to kind of just organize a little bit. And, you know, since we last spoke was episode 14 on where we just introducing you and like your story. And since then, there has been clearly like so much development and so fast in the crypto space. And you're like my go-to crypto person. You have so much knowledge, and specifically want to focus on like NFTs. I've seen you've been posting a lot about NFTs, and then maybe we can later get into or within a combination, because I guess it's kind of related with Web3, right? This is also the big thing, and metaverse. But I want to get into what your thoughts are on like NFTs, how that, if any of your thoughts changed from when we last spoke, when we mentioned NFTs, to where we are now.
I was a little pessimistic, huh?
Yeah, I remember. But
not
now
gonna
it's
lie.
Like,
I mean,
blown up.
I'm not against NFTs. I just want to clarify that. I'm not against NFTs. I think people just shouldn't come with the expectation that they're going to make a lot of money. That's kind of where what I think, because right now they're booming. Everybody's talking about them. And there's this belief that, oh my God, I'm going to get rich if I invest in NFTs, which the reality of the matter, that's a lie. You know, it's about investing in real things. So, and the reason, again, like I was more pessimistic in NFTs, and I still hold these beliefs, is that it's a very illiquid market. So it really depends on your goals. It depends on what you want. Mm-hmm. So if you want something that you know you can withdraw whenever you want, then crypto is the way to go. Bitcoin specifically, right? Because it's an asset that's always going to be valuable. It's liquid. It's the most liquid asset of all tokens, right? Mm-hmm. But with NFTs, you only make money when you sell. And that's with keep in mind that unless somebody is willing to buy that NFT. Mm-hmm. So if you're okay with that, do it. You know, I think NFTs are an amazing way to make money, especially if you have the skill flipping NFTs. Like, I mean, getting in early, right, getting into the drops and selling, right? Like, I know people that that flip NFTs the same way, you know, they might flip shoes and like, you know, all these things. Like, it's a hustle, you know, because you have to be up at these crazy times. You have to get into the auction. Sometimes you pay a bunch of gas. I know friends, you know, that been getting, I remember the Adidas NFTs, like all of these hype big brands NFTs. You have to get with the gas fee, you get in line. And you pay a gas fee to get in line. And sometimes you don't even get the asset. Because think about all these people. So you're already threw that money off the window, you know?
Wow, like I didn't know that you had to pay gas fees just to be like in the queue, right?
Some of them, wow. Not all of them. So my friend just told me he lost $1,000 on getting in the Adidas NFT, and he didn't even get it. So just keeping in mind that that's something that could happen if you're okay with that. Because listen, if you spend $1,000 and you get it, that was like a 100x gain, right. You know, and it was worth it. But think about how many people are trying to get in, and it's just really not going to happen for everybody, you know? So that's my thing with NFTs. Now, what I see a huge use case for NFTs is the whole fractionalized ownership of things. I mean, owning a piece of real estate, owning a piece of land, owning, you know, like thinking about DAOs and thinking about like people are getting, I don't know, like I saw a DAO that was interesting. I'm actually looking to get on a call with him, but he is creating a DAO for, it's called Island DAO, I believe. And basically they're gathering a bunch of investors so they can buy an island in the Bahamas. And there are going to be a bunch of crypto investors that own this. And by you owning the NFT, I'm not sure if it's NFTs, but I know that you, by owning, being part of the DAO, you own a piece of the land and you are part of this island community.
Wow. So this guy's is going to buy like an island. Is that what you're saying?
An island. Yeah. Like an actual island.
And then through this NFT, whatever it is, whether it's like a contract or like, I mean, it's always a contract, right? But like it'll be something that proves like your ownership of a piece of the land, right?
Exactly.
That's pretty crazy to think about.
That's what I'm saying. And then we're not even getting into the benefits of having a dual citizenship, as in like taxes, right? For crypto taxes. People are paying a bunch of money just to be out of the US, especially if you have a lot of money because of crypto. You want to be out, you know? Right. So that's another thing. There's a lot of companies, one being like they're called Plan B, which they create passports, like investment passports in other countries. So you can have better investment opportunities. You can pay less taxes, or you have more freedom, you know, especially for people that don't believe in the way the government's ran. Maybe there's just a lot of restrictions because of COVID, or they don't want to expose themselves to COVID. They just go somewhere else where, you know, there's less people, better life. You're not in constant stress. But think about it. The US is just work, 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 you know? So that's another thing that's happening. But that gets me really interested in the NFT space, like having a piece of something that is real, or even having a piece of digital land that you can rent and create a passive income, you know?
Yeah, like, I was going to say, what about like owning digital land? I know like a lot of one of the biggest players is like, what's like Snoop Dogg bought like his own like part of land and like in the digital world, right? And that's an interesting like topic. For me, I thought that was very interesting. I've seen some other people that I know also bought like apartments or something like that. And I've seen companies putting a lot of money into like real estate that's like online real estate. So like, what's your take on that? I mean, it's pretty expensive from what I've seen, at least to get into like the big ones that I think would be the ones that ultimately like.
That's what I was gonna
running say. The joint, right? Like,
yeah, the entry point is really high for the average person, you know. It's worth it. I think you can even pass buy a small land and then rent it. And I know people that create casinos, movie theaters, video games within that digital land, and they charge people for entry. That's a possibility. I think you can also, if you want to invest in the metaverse without like buying a $10,000 digital land, you can also invest in the tokens within that digital land, in the digital space, like Decentraland, Sandbox, you know. So that's another thing. But yeah, the entry point is really high for the average person. But I think it's worth it. I think it's a lot of great things are going to happen. At the same time, it's not the same thing. Again, when I'm going with the NFTs, it's a less liquid market. So I just want people, I'm not against them. I just want people to understand, okay, are you okay with that? You know, Are you okay with that? But the demand's so high that it might be more liquid now, you know, in the future. So that's kind of what I'm like, okay, well, it depends on your goals. It depends on how much money you have. What's your risk tolerance, you know, because there's a level of risk with anything within crypto, with anything within the metaverse. So I'm a big proponent. I think we're going great places with NFTs, the metaverse.
Do you own any NFTs?
I actually do. I have two, but they're not like expensive NFTs. Just projects that you like. Yeah, I was talking with my boyfriend. We were seeing the Bored Ape Yacht Club, like one of the biggest NFTs. And just to buy one is $300K.
I was going to say, know? I think the cheapest I've seen is like $300K. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was like, should we buy one? I'm like, listen, don't be stupid. and the reason why I say that is that you could buy a house with that.
It's I was going like, to say, why not buy a house first? Like, you know what I mean? Again,
what you're paying for, you're not paying for the art. You're paying for the network. That's kind of where I want people to understand with this NFT communities. The reason why something's worth so much is not because of the art itself. Because the art, I mean, think about it. Like, those apes look cool, but like, they're nothing impressive. There's nothing out of the ordinary in regards of art.
I'm glad you said that too. I mentioned it with my girlfriend too. I was talking about NFTs, and she's like, she goes to school for art and stuff. And then she's like, a lot of her and her friends are just like, this isn't even like it looked like it's art, right? Everything is like, but like, it's not like a ton of effort into it in regards to a lot of NFTs from, and this is just like my personal take, is like you draw up like one monkey, right? And then you just copy and paste and you just add like items, like a cyborg, you make it into a cyborg or like, and that's my issue that I've just like my hot take on them. Cause you know what I mean? Like even with a lot of them, it's just like, it's just variations of the same character.
You're listening to the Leo Podcast. I'm Kevin Munoz. Support for today's episode comes from my Patreons. If you enjoy the show and are looking for bonus content and to further support the show, then head on over to patreon.com/LatinAmericaNeo or visit my website, latinamericaneo.org, to join the growing Leo Podcast community. Because the learning doesn't stop with this episode. There's also some sick merch on my website, everything from shirts, coffee mugs, and tote bags. All info will be at the bottom in the show notes. Now let's get back to today's episode.
What do you think?
But that's the whole idea behind NFT. Fun fact, I just learned maybe like 3-4 months ago how NFTs are creating from the development side. Mm. So right now, the really trendy NFTs are the ones that are like profile NFTs. They call them PFF, I think PFF. Okay. PFP, profile pictures.
Yeah.
Those are the trendy ones because that's my point when I talk about community. Mm. When you join like punks, CryptoPunks or Bored Ape, you're not paying for the art itself. You're paying to have access to an exclusive community. And what's the biggest human desire? Mm-hmm. To be accepted, to be part of something. It is community driven. That's like a human trait.
That's why people buy bags,
Gucci bags, or that's mm-hmm. why people buy expensive cars, right? We're all seeking for like a form of acceptance. We're all seeking for to be surrounded people that care about us and that we feel, you know, great. So you pay for the exclusivity, mm-hmm. right? And for the perks, which you get invited to these like parties, you get invited to like a lot of events. You also get free airdrops, and automatically when you get an airdrop, that it is guaranteed is gonna be worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you had a Bored Ape, you got a Dogo, like a Ape Dogo. I don't even know that free. Yeah, it was like a Dogo NFT.
Yeah.
Which was funny. It was like a Chiba Dogo NFT. It was funny. Also got, I don't know if you've been seeing the mutant NFTs, the mutant Bored Apes. So you got a free potion. You could get a free potion, give it to your NFT, and then you will create a new NFT that was like a zombie ape. And this was like, you will literally create a whole new NFT. And right now, I think, I don't know the exact number, but they're going for a couple of Ethereums, like maybe 20, 30 Ethereums each. Wow. Like each.
Yeah, floor price I'm looking at right now is like 16, basically.
60. So there it is. Yeah. So that's 16. For the Bored Ape. So you get like free airdrops. you know, when there's a lot of events like crypto events, it's a lot of exclusivity. You also have access. Think about it. A lot of celebrities are buying in.
Yeah.
So you have access to those celebrities. You're going to, and think about it. The tax bracket that has access to those NFTs. You have access to people that have a lot of money. So if you're looking to raise funds for your company, if you're looking to meet successful people and learn the secrets of building wealth, or you have access through that. So people are paying for that exclusive community more than they're paying for the art.
You know? You got to be very intentional. Like, you feel like you have to, either you're buying it because you think it's cool, or you're buying it because you're very like plotting, you know, you have a plan to do something with it. So no, that's true. Speaking of profile pictures, that did you see Twitter now you can put you connect it with your NFT or something? I thought that was really, really cool.
It's cool, but I won't do it. And I don't think a lot of people will do it. It's not safe.
I was going to say, I'm surprised it didn't catch on as much as I thought it would. And how come it's not safe?
From a crypto security perspective, there's a couple things. So I think it's an amazing thing in building awareness. I think they're taking the right steps. I'm just wary of it for several things. First, digital theft. If I connect my wallet, anytime you connect your MetaMask wallet into any smart contract, because my assumption is that it's a form of smart contract, not sure how they're being run. Anytime you connect your wallet to anything, you expose it to a new vulnerability, which means that if Twitter was to get hacked, if something was to get malfunction, people have access to my account that I connected. So that's kind of what I'm like, okay, not sure about that. The second thing is you become a target. Think about it. If you're like this influencer, you connected your wallet and everybody knows that you have that. Yes, I'm in crypto, but you will never see me post like, I made this amount of money in crypto. Why? Because I protect my privacy. I don't want people knowing my business. And what I make, it's not what you made. So why do you even care? You know what I mean? Right. And that because I made it, it means you're going to make it. Because that's just not how it works. Mm-hmm. But if I'm posting all of these things about how much NFTs I have or how much money I have, I feel like people could become targets for their safety. You know, people just trying to kidnap them and like, give me the keys or your digital wallet. You know what I mean? It's gonna be crazy.
That's actually very, very, very real fear that people should also just keep in mind. Like, a lot of people just kind of throw their business out there. And like, even me with my even like regular, money, right? I ain't telling people like how much money I got in the bank. Like, you just become a target, right? Like you say, you become, as more information that you leak out about yourself, the more of a target you become.
I agree.
Yeah. And now I want to move on to Web3, and I've been hearing it everywhere, and I just wanted to see what you think is, how this is related to NFTs and the metaverse. Let us know what is Web3 and why is it such a huge topic right now? It was metaverse, and then right after it was Web3.
Well, Web3, metaverse, NFTs are all part of Web3. Mm-hmm. You know, it's this whole idea. I'll give you the best example. I posted this graphics, by the way. If you guys are not following me on Instagram, you should. Post a lot of crypto content.
Definitely have to follow you.
My friend posted this picture and I shared it, which was very amazing, which basically explained that the progression of the internet, right? Before when the internet first came out, if you wanted to log into your email account, if you wanted to log into anything, you will have to have a username and a password, right? And you had to remember both the username and the password. Then later on years came and now you can connect using your Google. You can connect using your Facebook. You can connect using third apps, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's all interconnected. Now we have digital identities. The whole digital identity is very strong. Think about your phone. Your phone, once it's confiscated, it has your pictures, it has your passwords, it has access to your money. It's your whole digital identity. Now we have a Web3 where everything is anonymous. Things can be anonymous. It is permissionless. It cannot be changed. There is no third party, right? Because think about Facebook and Google and all these multi-corporations that are selling our information for profit. and we're not getting anything, you know? So they have access to a whole digital identity for free. We willingly gave it to them, you know? We make nothing out of it. Now with Web3, it is permissionless. It is anonymous. It is in the blockchain. And all I have to do is connect to wallet. And the moment I connect my wallet, I am locked in. And that's it. You know, I don't even have to put my name, put anything else. Now, I do think it might evolve. That might change with, you know, the government trying to regulate. And maybe there's going to be some more KYC in it.
Right.
Who knows? But that's what Web3 is about, is incorporating technology that allows us to have more freedom, in my opinion. And that means if we do have to sell our information, at least we get a portion of it, you know? And I've seen different applications have similar models like Ray Browser, Puma Browser. Well, Puma is, they don't sell any of your information, but Ray Browser is that you get tokens, right? You get tokens for using the browser. You get free crypto tokens. Think about how much we spend on the internet. And they block ads and they block a lot of different things that you might not, you might even not be able to see ads on YouTube, right? And that's kind of what I like, the fact that I get paid for using something that I use every day, right? And
yeah,
that's the advantage of crypto. So that's what I see Web3 is like, a new technology, a new way of changing, you know, the way we think about the internet, digital identities, and just how we move forward with the world.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, how do you think it's going to be like, I mean, it's hard to imagine, because like, you use your wallet to like get into, like you said, right, to log into the Web3. And, but how is it like, is it, so it's just like decentralized, like browsing essentially?
Technically, yes. Yeah. Right. But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right.
It just sounds really great. And I think it should be that way. Don't get me wrong. I just feel like there's always people trying to capitalize off people's back, absolutely. One way or the other.
Yeah. Well, how do people like get started with, if they want to, like, with Web3 things, right? Like, what can they do to set themselves up for Web3 in the future?
First thing, get a MetaMask wallet. That's the first thing. You need to go download it. Make sure you write your seed phrase. Make sure you understand your password. Like, you know, your 12 words or 24 words, whatever, like, you save them, and start playing around with it. You know, even if you don't have funds, just try to go and like play around with the app and understand it. Watch a bunch of tutorials, then put some money in it. You don't have to put a lot. I mean, with gas fees, you know, that might eat you out, but just play around with it. You know, that's what you need to do. Like, I think most people learn by doing, not as much as hearing about it. So you need to like just start doing it. Play around, especially with, if you're looking at the decentralized way, MetaMask might be your best bet. I mean, if not, just open an exchange, right? If you're looking to get started, just get a Coinbase account, get a Gemini account, whatever you use, like, just start putting some money right now when the market's bleeding is the best time to buy, you know, when everybody has so much fear. You know, the market is not even a $1 trillion market anymore, you know.
I saw that. Yeah.
So it's just a really great opportunity to buy, you know. So I think that's the best way, just by doing it.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. Speaking of not being a $1 trillion market anymore, what is causing all this volatility right now? Are we in a bear market? Like, would you say we're in a bear market?
We could be entering. I don't know the answer to that. You know, it's always so much speculation. We could be entering the bear market, which is, this is where real wealth is accumulated. You know, this is like the best time where the millionaires are going to be made next year, you know, or at the end of this year. When people are buying, I think a lot of it has to do with fear. You know, once everything starts dropping, people tend to be fearful and start withdrawing too. And it just kind of becomes like, it's a cycle of emotion. So there's this chart I recommend everybody to look. It's called Wall Street Cheat Sheet, right?
Okay.
And basically talks about human emotion in the charts, right? First you have like, you know, people are getting excited, you know, when the market's going up, right? Excited, hopeful, euphoria. You're like, oh my God, I'm the smartest dude on earth. I'm gonna get rich, right? But when the market's going up so like high, it's just not sustainable, right? And then the market starts falling, people start cashing out, or you know, different things, and people start losing hope, right? Starts going down, people start freaking out, and then everybody's like, oh my god, I'm losing all my money, I need to withdraw before I lose anything, everything, all right? A lot of traders get liquidated, the trading market, that's another thing, right? Traders are over leveraging and just losing a lot of money, and that affects the market as well. So
yeah,
it's just like emotions, I think. But you know, when you know the vision, you're not worried.
I love that. So that's similar to like the fear and greed index that I've seen before, right?
Yeah
Okay, no, that's interesting. So I want to get into, like, I saw that you bought the Oculus Quest 2 on Twitter. I saw that you posted something, and how's your experience been with that?
I'll be honest, I don't use it as much. I just don't have the time. I have a small, I think I told you, I just moved in into my apartment, and it's still kind of messy, and I'm like, I don't want to fall. I don't want to be that you
start
person
banging
to, like,
into
fall.
Things. That's so funny.
Yeah, I need like a clear space. So I'm but so far it's been a good experience. I play a little bit of the games. They do have a good variety of games. Like, you can work out, you can play races, you can like go to the club with your friends, and like, I just saw this video of people in the metaverse just like popping bottles and with the girls throwing the champagne
so
in your face.
It's
funny, really funny. Technically, you can do a lot of stuff. But I like them. I think it's a good innovation. But for me, I kind of just got them out of curiosity. You know, it's nothing as in like, you know, I must use them. Right. It was just kind of like, okay, I want to see what is it. I like it, but I don't see myself using it a lot. At least for now, I just don't have the time to do it.
Yeah. No, I think when it comes to like the metaverse, I think it's going to be like a hybrid. As most things are, I think one side wants one thing and the other side wants another thing. And ultimately, it's just what we get is like a hybrid of things. I think it's going to be more like an AR kind of thing, with like, you will interact like half in the world and like half with other things, like in the like if like a painting in real life, right? It could give you like a description in your glasses or something. So I don't know. I think that's what the way it's going to, I feel like most things always end up being a hybrid of what we imagine it to be.
Yeah. And it's going to be good. You know, the kids are getting into it, which is always a good thing. The moment you see a kid doing it, it's kind of like, okay, I need to invest in this, you know, because this kid's not going to grow. You know, they're going to grow and do it. So yeah, anything kids do, it's like TikTok, for example.
I was going to say that too. Yeah, I was going to say that too. That TikTok, that's, if you want to blow up your social media, you got to be on TikTok. Like, that's a great way to do it. So I know you talked a little bit about taking like contracts from now that you're getting paid in crypto, right? So I want to know like what jobs you've been doing since we last spoke. I know you've been writing a lot, and also what projects that you're working on. You've been doing so many things, and I want to know all about them.
Yeah, I'm working on a couple of things. I'm working the crypto security sector. So right now I am involved with a project called Hats Finance. And they're a really cool project because they're basically able to give rewards to hackers that want to disclose vulnerabilities instead of hacking it. So let's say I work with different crypto protocols and I tell them, hey, listen, I'm going to connect you with crypto talent that instead of hacking you and steal money from you, they're going to find errors in your code, and we'll give you and then we'll pay them a small percentage of your coins instead of them hacking the majority of them. You know what I mean? So we do a lot of stuff in the bounty ecosystem, just in the security ecosystem, which is really awesome. So right now I'm with them, and I'm basically in charge of the writing, community building, and the going into the Discord, the Telegram, just guiding people, answering people's questions. I'm also do like some of the business development, like making connections, like if I can onboard somebody, like a new project that wants to protect the protocol, will help them. I also been traveling quite a few to a lot of crypto events. I'm actually going to be heading to Denver next month for ETH Denver, which is a huge conference on Ethereum. So I'm really excited for that. I'm going to be in Bitcoin 2022 as well. Yeah, so that's one project. I'm also doing the content creation side. So I write articles for different platforms. I do videos. I'm actually starting a new partnership with Crypto EQ, which is an educational platform. So if anybody wants to get in, they actually have really affordable, like if you want to learn about crypto and have a community with you, they have really affordable prices. And not because I'm working with them, I'm in their group chat and I'm seeing the value that they add. Like they add so much value. Like if you guys want to get in, I can send you the link on how to get in. But they have very affordable prices from like $15 to $20 a month. You know, that's a Netflix account. You know, get out of Netflix and get to learn about crypto. You know,
I got beef with Netflix. they keep raising their prices. Like,
of course, that's so what they do.
I don't even know. I think they're like $25 now. We started at like $5 or something. Like,
that's what I'm saying. So very affordable prices to get in with Crypto EQ. So if anybody wants the link, let me know and I'll send you guys the link to join. So I'm gonna be doing content creation with them. I'm also doing Crypto Babe, which is my baby.
I saw
we educate women. Mm-hmm. We educate women on crypto basics, blockchain. Anybody's welcome, not just women, by the way. Anybody can join us. We're in Clubhouse, we're on Twitter. What else am I doing? Yeah, I work with other contracts here and there, like helping them with their writing, helping them with their video creation. I'm also kind of involved with another project that's doing like metaverse and the sandbox. So I'm going to be putting some videos out. I'm still hashing out some details with them. I'm also doing interpreting, kind of like a way, it's not crypto related, but I do it as a way to like contribute to my community, my Hispanic Latino community, just help them understand the language better. So I do interpreting, but yeah, a bunch of different side hustles, but mostly
that's the great. Business. Yeah, no, yeah. I love that. How do people get, if I wanted to, which I don't recommend, I'm just hypothetical, quit my job right now and go get paid in crypto. How do you, where do you look? Like,
so you talk about, not, by the way, a disclaimer, not everybody gets a crypto, not everybody that gets a job in crypto will get paid in crypto, right? Like Coinbase people don't get paid in crypto. The first thing I will say is first educate yourself, right? Make sure that you understand what you're talking about, because for them it's really important. Like if you understand crypto, that already puts you as a priority, you know, and get yourself noticed. Like the reason why I was able to get hired in crypto is because I started creating my own community. I started building my own social media. I started building Crypto Babes, right? Which grew rapidly. And people consider that, right? As my form of experience, I didn't have, you know, a job that hired me out of college or like a project, because I don't, you know, it was mostly like I created my own thing and then people started noticing it. They saw it as like, okay, this girl actually understands her stuff. She knows what she's talking about. And she likes to talk to people about it, you know? Right. So think about what are the different ways that you can get yourself noticed. Start doing some videos, whether it's on YouTube, maybe some TikTok, some reels, start doing some writing. Like think about what am I good at? If you're good at writing, maybe create some articles and post them on your blog, right? If you don't have a company that can take them for you, post them on your blog, you know? So thinking about those things, I think can help people get noticed. And if anybody's looking for a crypto job, like I can help you too, you know? So send me your resume. I'll do the best that I can. But crypto's hiring like crazy. They need the talent. They need it. So as long, even if you have a web 2 job, like maybe with other tech company, just tell me your skills, send your resume, and you know, maybe we can get something for you. So that's a possibility. So you know, that's always, if anybody wants to get it now, if you want to get it paid in crypto, that's a whole different beast. You need to understand the technicalities behind
it, especially because of those high fees.
Yeah, but some companies won't pay you in crypto. Some of them will pay you in fiat. Or some of them, if you use a layer 2, or maybe if you get paid in another blockchain that is not Ethereum, you can pay way less fees, you know? So I don't want to freak out people when I say, oh, it's super expensive. It's only Ethereum. There's thousands of other blockchains that you can get paid off.
All right. Yeah, there you go. So I'll put all your information as well, so people can get in contact with you. And anything else that you want to let us know, any big projects that you have coming up, or just any other last minute announcements?
I would just say make sure everybody's following me either on Instagram or Twitter. I'm going to be doing more educational stuff, posting a lot of videos. So if you are about crypto and you like to learn, like I post very digestible content on crypto. So just make sure you follow me at Ale Corbella _. By the way, there's also a lot of fake accounts going around of me. So be aware of that as well. I will not trade for you. I will not, I don't have like no trading app. Investment platform where you deposit your money in 10x tomorrow. That's just not how it works. And I always say, you know, if you can get in the phone with them, it's because they're not me. You know what I mean? Business is always done over the phone. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get into business, how about you talk to me? You know what I mean? They won't get on call with you. So there's a lot of impersonators, just a lot of fake accounts. So be aware of that. But yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram or Twitter.
All right, well, thank you so much for catching us up on what's going on in the crypto world, because it's always so fast-paced and it's a lot to digest, but you know,
thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a family or a friend and rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It helps tremendously in order to bring more awareness and educational resources to our community. For more information and to stay up to date with what I'm doing, you can follow me on Instagram at LatinAmericaNeo. And if you need more information and resources, you can visit my website, LatinAmericaNeo.org. I'm Kevin Munoz. This has been the Leo Podcast, and I'll see you next time. This podcast is not investment advice. I am not a qualified, licensed investment advisor. All information on here, including any ideas, opinions, views, predictions, forecasts, commentaries, suggestions, or stock picks expressed or implied, are for informational, entertainment, or educational purposes only and should not be construed as personal investment advice. Conduct your own due diligence or consult a licensed financial advisor or broker before making any and all investment decisions. Any investments, trades, speculations, or decisions made on the basis of any information found on this podcast, expressed or implied, are committed at your own risk, financial or otherwise.